Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Let's try that one more time, y'all. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Yeah, that's what I like to hear. This is the day that the Lord has made, so I will rejoice and be glad in it, right? Because He's brought us here one more time to worship His holy, everlasting, unstoppable, impossible, overcoming name. Hallelujah. Come on, so turn to your neighbor and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now give me a smile if you got joy. I ain't see smiles. Give me a smile if you got joy. All right, so I'm going to sing, and then I want you to repeat what I sing, okay? All right, cool. So here we go. Come on, sing. Oh. From the top. Hey. My strength.
My strength.
My strength.
Oh, the joy.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
My strength.
My strength.
Oh, the joy.
Oh, the joy of the Lord.
Come on, sing that again.
My strength.
My strength.
My strength.
My strength.
Oh, the joy.
Oh, the joy
of the Lord is my strength.
My strength.
My strength.
My strength.
Oh,
strength.
Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that is enough to overcome the world. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the peace inside I can't explain.
See,
you're the
strength I need.
You will.
You're the strength I need.
Come on, move back and forth with me, say. Come on with me, come on, come on. Because you said you got joy, right? You say he's your strength, right? Come on and sing this, sing.
Stronger, stronger, I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger. Greater, greater, my God is greater. His power, it makes me stronger.
Stronger, stronger,
I'm getting
stronger. The joy.
Come on, one more time, sing.
Stronger, stronger, I'm getting stronger. The joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger. Greater, greater, my God is greater. His power, power, it makes me stronger.
You're the joy.
We want to welcome all of our guests. Thank you so much. And the reason I don't usually do this, but I wanted to say goodbye because I'm heading up to Ithaca to go preach up there. We have such an amazing guest for you today. A man of great wisdom and his beautiful bride. Yesterday at leadership meeting, he just sat and spoke, and he literally, through the prophetic, spoke exactly what this church was going through at that exact moment. I love when God uses people. Amen? Amen. And today we don't have a speaker for you. We have a man of God that's come to bring a word from the Lord for you. Now, if you need healing in your body, you better start praying because you want to draw that gift out of him. Amen? If you need a prophetic word, you need to draw that gift out. Come on now. We know how to do that, right? Draw the gift. Put a draw on the gift. So I'm heading up to Ithaca, and I just want to say this. Could we do this? Could everybody, I know we like our ends, but we're running out of room. So if you could move in a little bit, make room for the person. I'm not talking up front. I'm talking in your chairs. If you can make room, or if you have an empty seat, make it available, because we want to make sure everyone grabs a seat this morning. Amen? We love you. Make sure you pray for me as I'm preaching in Ithaca.
All right, you guys ready to go back into worship? Because you guys seem really excited today. Here we go.
And water you turned into wine, and opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. And into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. 'Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are high. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God.
There's none like you. And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none. Stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
sing my God.
My God is greater, my God is stronger. God, you are higher than. Awesome in power, our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? 'Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and our God, and our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
I want you guys to declare this with me.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could?
I can't hear you guys.
And if our God is for us, stop us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand? What could stand against? What could stand against? What could stand against? 'Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep praising him, keep worshiping him. He's a great God. Did you know that just whispering the name of Jesus, darkness has to flee? Yeah. Sickness has to flee. Disease has to flee. There's no place for it. Just the name of Jesus. as we transition in this time of worship, we're still praising him. We're still giving him honor. But let those things go and just whisper Jesus. Because when we say his name, everything must go outside of him. There's no other place for it. We're nothing without him. We need him every single hour and every single minute. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your name. We thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. And isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? And isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? And isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? And isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him and have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Sing this out, Eternal King. Eternal King.
Salvation in the name, there is life in the name.
Proclaim that today.
There is no other name but Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus. And there is freedom in the name. There's healing in the name. There is salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus.
There's healing in the name. There is power in the name. Salvation in the name.
Come on, proclaim it.
There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus. Jesus, eternal.
We love your name. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for your power, Jesus. We love you. We love your name, Father. Jesus, we love you.
Love you. Your name is like honey on my
worship you, Jesus.
it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming. And I are here today to invite you to a group. Join us at the group desk and sign up for groups today, or go online to histabernacle.com/groups. Families that grow and go.
Family, guess what? March 18th through the 20th, right here, we're hosting Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. The crazy thing is, we have people driving from all over the Northeast to see Bishop Thomas, Pastor Jim Riley, Alvin and Joy Slaughter, and we'd love to invite you to be a part of this conference as well. It's only $29, and your life will be forever impacted and changed in such a powerful way. You can go today to empoweringpastors.com to get registered and secure your seat.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our Next Steps class that's offered here at His Tabernacle. If you want to build an amazing foundation on the Word of God and learn how to lead people with integrity and knowledge, then you want to join Next Steps. At the Horseheads campus, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Wednesday at 9 a.m. are our Next Steps classes. At Horseheads and Ithaca campus, Thursdays at 6 o'clock is when they're taught. I want to see you there. I want to see you get equipped and built up in the Word of God.
Tabernacle Family Church. God's presence is awesome. Isn't God's presence awesome? As we were worshiping, the Lord was speaking to me, telling me that every seed that falls to the ground, it must die in order for it to bring forth fruit, in order for it to produce a tree or a shrub. And in the same way, our Jesus died on the cross. Can we get excited? As the seed that died for us, and when he resurrected, that sickness was overcome. It died. And your healing resurrected. Your poverty died. And your wealth resurrected. Your bondage died. And your freedom resurrected. We serve an awesome God. So whatever you're struggling with in your life, because Jesus died, he was a seed that died for us and resurrected. Anything that you're struggling with in your life, it had to die because he died. And now the opposite, the goodness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the promises of God, they are resurrected in your life. And somebody needs to say, I receive that in this house. I receive that. Amen. We want to welcome you. We would also like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you. We love that the seed of Jesus knows no bounds. Amen. It's awesome to know that we get to come together. If you get a chance, look around. There's nothing better than coming together as the body of Christ in this house. I love this house. But not only that, we have people watching through live stream from various countries, from various states, people that are on vacation enjoying sunshine. Hallelujah. So we are so blessed to be surrounded by such great people that love Jesus. If you're a guest in this house, we would like to ask you to raise your hand. We have guest hosts that would love to come and bring you a gift, and you want this, believe me, so get your hand up. We have a great gift for you. Also, directly after service on this side of the building, we will have a guest reception where we will have refreshments, and our staff and some of our pastors will be there just to get to know you and to welcome you. We always have great things happening in this house. It's impossible because we have great people and we serve a great God. So I want to tell you about some of the things that you can participate with. First of all, groups. If you are not in a group, you need to make sure that you get one. If you are in a group, please raise your hand. Look around. Talk to one of those people. They are in a group, and they can get you all hooked up. So you want to get in a group. Also, if you are interested in participating with the Easter production, yes. You want to make sure that you come out today from 2:30 to 4 o'clock here at His Tabernacle. They are looking for people who are interested in serving God through their gifts and talents in drama and music. So if you are in any of those arenas, gifted and talented, please come out 2:30 to 4 o'clock this afternoon. And I am really excited to talk about the Women's Conference. Can anybody get excited about the Women's Conference? There is no place to go but up. Turn to somebody next to you and say, there's no place to go but up. Not with Jesus. Amen? Not with Jesus. So we are excited. We are getting together Friday night and Saturday morning. There are going to be giveaways. Please make sure that you register so that you are in the giveaway. You do want to get the giveaway, truly. And just powerful preaching, the words that have been given to the women that are speaking are absolutely Spirit-filled words. If you want to be changed, if you want to be transformed, you need to make time to be at this event this Friday and Saturday here at His Tabernacle. I would now like to invite Pastor Obi to bring the tithes and the offerings.
Good morning, HC. How y'all doing this morning? Who enjoyed worship? Was that not so powerful? When you begin to release the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Come on now, every tongue must confess that He is Lord. Every single situation in your life must bow down to the name of Jesus. So if you have no other reason to shout today, I want you to give the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords a shout because His name is powerful. A shout because His name carries power. A shout because during worship, even you can receive your breakthrough. I'm excited this morning. Who's excited? I love one service. I just love the power in here. I love the energy. I love the excitement. And I got to meet new people today. Seeing people drive down the driveway, I was like, hey, I've never seen them before. And that's what I love about this church. We get to meet new people all the time, but still, we serve the same God. We all messed up, amen? We all got stuff going on, but we still serve a good God. We serve a faithful God who is excited for the faithfulness of our God. Come on now, He is so faithful. He's faithful to His name, and He is faithful to His word. We are getting so close to the sermon. We have Pastor Rick Shelton. He's about to bring a phenomenal word for you. So let's get ready. Let's begin to prepare our hearts. But there's something about the faithfulness of our God to His word, the word that He even holds above His own name. Come on now, even to Abraham, He swore by His name. But that's the only time He did, but He still holds His word above His name. The Bible declares that His word, it shall go forth. It shall not return void. And it will accomplish what it was set forth to do. When you can begin to read the word of God, you can say, God, if you said it, it is for me. So I have the privilege today to share with you a little bit about tithes and offerings from the word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. The Bible declares in Proverbs chapter 3, honor the Lord with your possessions. Say honor. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled. Say filled. Oh, come on. You are a Pentecostal church. Say filled. Filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow. Say overflow. With new wine. Now, when you look up that word honor in the Hebrew, it actually has two connotations that I believe is going to represent everybody in this room. The first connotation, it is a weight, but it's a positive weight because God has been doing so much in your life. Come on, give God a shout if you came out of 2018 one way, but already 2 months into 2019, God has blessed your socks off. Come on now, God has done such a work in you that the word came to life that even if He told it to you, you wouldn't believe it. So some of us, we're here to honor God, to say, God, I have so much weight of the goodness on my life right now. And I want to just say, no, with my tithe, my offering, I want to honor you with that. But then there's another connotation of honor, which is a weight of I'm down. a way of, if I give this tithe and this offering today, I don't know if I'm having enough bread tomorrow. But what I love about the word is that either you are the first weight or the second weight, the latter part of the promise is still for you. That the Bible is not set just for if you're doing well or if you are struggling. His promise is yes and amen. Regardless of your condition, you can leave here with the position of promise. Who's ready for that? So the Bible begins to say in the latter part of that verse, either you are overflowing or either it is maybe a struggle. You came in here and once you receive the promise of the word and you begin to act on it, the latter part of the promise will begin to happen into your life. The Bible says that you will be filled with plenty. Come on, your next level is for you to be filled. Never again to say just enough. Never again to just to survive, but it is for you to be filled. And now our God, he does not stop at there. It says to overflow. Say overflow. It's not just for you. It's for the person next to you. It's for the person in front of you. It's for the person behind you. That's the type of anointing your seed, that's the type of anointing your tithe, your offering can produce. Who's excited for that? That's the next level that we're talking about. He desires for you to be filled and to overflow. So if you're ready, just stand up to your feet. Hold your offering in your hand. Hold your tithe in your hand. If you have your phone, like we give, put your phone up in your air. Wave it like you just don't care. Don't play. Y'all haven't always been saved. What's amazing about this word is that the word has a promise that will never return void. But your obedience will unlock that promise in your life. October 30th of 2018, we closed on our house and we were in the lawyer's office signing papers for 1 hour. I signed those papers. My wife signed those papers. The deed was ours. The house belonged to us. But not until we got the key could we enter. The word that we just released in Proverbs, that's your deed. That is your legal right to it. But your obedience with your tithe and your offering, that's the key. Are y'all ready for it? So come on now, lift it up in the air. Repeat after me. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They trip me up, because I'm a child of God. Now, if you believe that 2019 is your year to be filled, if you believe that 2019 is your year of overflow, I need you to decree and to declare this and tear off this root. Shout out, blessed. If you're ready, you can now come down and bring your tithe and your offering. You can give online. And we're excited that 2019 will be your year of fill and overflow.
You're the Good morning, His Tabernacle family. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was the fire of God or just all of you guys making so much energy that it was a little warm up here. And I'm like, woo, woo. I think it's the fire of God. Amen. You guys brought it with you. Amen. You know, it's so awesome when the fire doesn't have to come from up here, out there, but when it goes from out there, it just whooshes. Yay. This way, because you brought it in you and with you. And when you start worshiping with all your heart, man, the level comes up so quickly in the house. Amen. Pastor Rick and I are so glad to be with you today. I want to tell you that since the last time we were here a couple of years ago, we published another book. I can say this about my husband. He's been a man of prayer a whole married life, 46 years this year. And we were just babies. Some teenagers want to get married, and I said, you're babies. And we were babies. But we grew up together. The good thing about that is, and I watched him be determined to become a man of prayer. I watched him go through the different stages of being frustrated. And he tells the whole story in here of how he determined to be a man of prayer and went into the room and sat down and determined to pray an hour and prayed everything he knew to pray. 5 minutes. Frustrated. How many times have we gone in to pray? I think we're praying and praying and praying and just totally connecting. And then it's just a couple of minutes. Well, he kept on and he learned secrets of how to not just talk to God in that one segmented hour in the morning. But the second part of this title is God listening? You have to know that whenever you come before him, he's listening. If you don't know that, you can never come with confidence. But then the next part said secrets that turn talking to God into walking with God. You see, the whole point is not just to talk to God. The whole point is to walk with him. When you walk out of your prayer room or your prayer time, whenever that may be, that's when you begin the walking with God, still connected. Still connected. It's like going into that room with the Lord and getting totally dressed for the day, being covered by his grace and his power and his glory through prayer. And if you have ever struggled at all, I want you to get this. This is 40 years of praying condensed so that you don't have to go and learn all the secrets. I love it when somebody else does the work and I can get their revelation. I do it all the time. You know, I still have cassette tapes. I think they're anointed. And I actually brought my cassette player with me, listening to it on the plane, and I thought, people, young people, look at it, what in the world is that? A new kind of MP3 player? Nah, it's the anointed first one. So anyway, I want you to avail yourself of that, the first book that Pastor Rick wrote, which told about the 6 years of his struggle that he talked about last time we were here. You can get that on our website now. Our website just is coming up, and it still has a little bug or two in it, maybe. Hopefully it's fixed by today. But you can go on rickshelton.com and get the Taking Your Life Back book. If you've ever had panic, anxiety, struggle with a long-term sickness, or even just any kind of struggle long-term where you feel like you have to take your life back because it's been taken away from you for a period of time, then that also gives major secrets about how to come out of that and stay out of that and never go back there again. Amen? So I'd like to welcome my husband. He's got a powerful word for you today. So I've got my pen full of ink and my paper ready to go.
Thanks, love you, babe. Thank you. Isn't she cute? Yeah, those books She's talking about a prayer. We're going to be back there in the lobby at the end of the service. So, hey, it's good to be with you today. It'll smile at me real big so I can see your best face right there. Wow. Look at the person next to you and just give them a big smile. Would you do that? Just smile at them. Would you do it? Come on. Look at them. Look at them on either side and say, my, you look gorgeous today. Tell them that. Donna and I have the privilege of traveling around the world and encouraging churches, helping pastors. Part of our ministry is mentoring younger pastors, and which obviously that's the passion of your pastor here also, and something that he does. And I just got back a few days ago from India, where we had a conference there of 1,500 pastors, encouraging them to plant churches. And then before that, the week before that, we were in Dubai, and had a wonderful time of ministry. And so from Dubai to India to Horseheads. Isn't that wonderful? It would not be complete without this trip. You know, we do feel special love and embracing or acceptance here. And I think it starts with your pastors. You know, we love them. They are really wonderful people and have made us feel so loved and accepted and embraced here. And so have you. And I just thank you for that. And so anyway, I've come today with a real burden in my heart to deliver something to you that I believe could take and send you or lift you into a new dimension in your walk with God and just in the quality of your life in general, the level of victory that you're walking in. Let's look in Luke chapter 18. Are you all ready?
Yes.
Luke chapter 18. We're going to read verses 7 and 8. Before we do, let me just tell you that what this is it's a statement of Jesus that is just on the heels of him giving a parable about a woman, a widow woman, who had a great need, and she was camping out at the steps of this unjust judge, begging him, pleading with him for justice, to give her justice. And he wouldn't do it. Until she kept pestering him, wouldn't let him go, and he ended up giving her the justice that she was crying out for. And Jesus gave that parable for a reason, and he gives us the reason or the truth that's to be extracted from that. And here it is in verse 7 and 8. He said, "And shall God not avenge his own elect? Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him?" In other words, that's a question, a rhetorical question. Do you think that won't happen? Do you think you can go on with God, walk with God day after day, year after year, and you're experiencing this battle that you've been experiencing for a while? Satan's been coming against you. Something's been happening in your family, maybe with your kids, maybe with your marriage, your finances, your physical body. Will God, do you think for a moment that your God would not come and avenge you of this thing? God's saying, of course I will. And he says this, though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And herein is the message. You know, God has given me a burden for several different things that I have, you know, really carry with me wherever I go. And one of those things is the Lord has given me a burden to help teach people how to live effectively, daily, a life of faith that works. In other words, that works, not one that just preaches well or, you know, where you claim some promises, you know, and something happens every once in a while, but you're not living in the constant manifestation of that victory in your life. And that is a real passion of mine, and my passion comes partly from this. I grew up in a classical Pentecostal church where, and I thank God for my heritage, I received so much from it, but one thing about that circle of influence was that I was taught kind of this fatalistic spirituality where that, you know, well, you believed God, you trusted God, but you never really knew if God was going to come through or not. Who knew when God was going to show up? He might show up. He doesn't. You really can't determine that. You just kind of keep clinging to God and, you know, and whether anything happens or not. And so I learned something of trust. But yet, it seemed like that there was no rhyme or reason about how God showed up in our life to bring a miracle. And then as I grew up, I went into ministry. And right as I was, just before I actually went into ministry, when I was 20 years old, I began to get involved with a circle of churches, circle group called the Word of Faith. Some of you may remember that, you know, but it was Word of Faith churches. And Word of Faith teaching, and the teaching was all about faith, you know, how to live by faith, speak faith, you know, believe God for things. And I learned so much from that circle of churches in those few years, but on that side, all I ever heard was the opposite of what I grew up with, and that is that God always comes through for you. You know, it always happens. In other words, if it doesn't, then something's either wrong with your faith. Are you with me now? Something's wrong with your faith or the faith that the person who prayed for you. You know, in that realm of teaching, there was so much power that powerful truth that I received from that. But there was this truth, this idea conveyed that if you didn't get the miracle or the breakthrough every single time when you asked for it, then it was your fault. Something was wrong with you because it's automatic. It happens every time. And you know what? After a while, I mean, I just begin to think as I pondered the word and prayer and reading the word. You know, it's important to think, folks. You know, when you get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, you don't lose your common sense. Y'all listen to me. We need thinking Christians. Yeah. Christians that know how to think and not just blindly accept something because it's told them. And I just begin to think and process this and it just didn't make sense to me, you know, what they were saying. And so on one side, I had this teaching, you know, y'all just trust God. You never know what's going to happen. What will be, you know, just go on. Thank God. On the other side, I had this teaching that God always comes through every single time. And if he doesn't, something's wrong with you. And I began to think, say, God, something's wrong with both of these. And there must be something here. In the middle, somehow, where these truths come together, you know, to really make up the kind of faith that you want us to live with and to walk in. And that is where the burden of my message is born today. And I begin to look at this passage in Luke 18. Now, look at it again where he says, of course, he will avenge the elect. Watch this. Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. And I looked at those two phrases and I said, they seem irreconcilable. It's like, how in the world do you bear, though he bears long with them? In other words, it means he takes a long time. It says, yet he will come and deliver them speedily. I mean, it's either speedily or a long time, right? Isn't it? Y'all ever think about stuff like that? And I begin to realize, God begin to show me. That these are two sides of a truth. That when, listen to this, when it says that God will deliver them speedily, I looked up that word speedily in the Greek, and you know what it means? It means to be on time in a timely fashion. It doesn't mean right now. It means at the right time. God will deliver you at the right time. In a timely fashion. God will never be late. He'll always be on time. But he is slow. On purpose. Though he bears, God will deliver you in at the right time. You can trust him. He won't be late. It will happen in a timely fashion. But though he bears long with them, which means he takes usually a span of time that's usually longer than you want it to be before that timely fashion comes. And I begin to think, why in the world does God do that? That, folks, in essence, that's the way faith works. Faith works like this. We go through these long spans of believing God, clinging to him, trusting him, believing for things to change. And they don't change. And then the other side of it comes, the speedily comes, where that all of a sudden things change in a moment of time. And I thought, why does it work that way? It's because God designed it that way. God designed it to where they didn't. Look, Mark 11:24, a powerful, famous passage on faith where it says this. It says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So he says, when you pray, believe you receive them. So when do you believe you receive it? When you pray. At that moment, your faith is activated. But he says, and you shall, when is shall? It's later on. Who knows when it is? It could be 6 days, six months, 6 years. But you shall, at a later date, receive it if you activate your faith now. And I begin to think about, like, God, one day I thought, God, why is it that you have made things this way? I mean, God is God. He could have designed. He could design things to work this way, to where that he gets to us the things that he wants, the miracles, the breakthroughs, the provisions, that he could have designed it where he gets them to us, where that when we just pray and speak it, it could happen instantly. I mean, he's God. He can do it any way he wants. He could have done it that way, but God purposely, sovereignly designed it to work this way, to where that we pray, we ask God, and we activate our faith, and we believe God. Day and night, day after day, week after week, year after year. And God has designed it where we do that for a period of time, a good period of time. And then God later on at the right time gives us what we need. Because it says in this passage, the last statement is, it says, because when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And all of a sudden, I got it. The reason God designed it to work this way, where his divine exchange works this way, we our faith is activated for long periods of time, and then boom, later, it comes to pass, all of a sudden. He designed it to work that way because more than anything else, God is looking for faith when he comes to your house. He's looking for faith when you're going to work and you're in the car in the day. He's looking for faith in your life. And I begin to ask God one day, God, what kind of faith are you looking for? And the Lord began to speak this to me. He said, listen to this. He said, if you look at the kind of faith that this widow woman had toward the unjust judge, she didn't just activate faith like every morning in her prayer time and say, all right, I'm believing God. I'm speaking the word. And she's like she's applying the substance of her faith against the problem. And then she goes on about her day. It said this woman lived every moment of her life with her faith, fully leaning on God, trusting him, believing him. There was not a moment that she was not believing God. And I begin to realize there's a reason why in Romans 1:17 that the Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. It didn't say they shall pray by faith. It didn't say they should get a miracle by faith. It didn't say they should quote the promises by faith. It says they shall live by faith. Y'all with me now? And I said, God, how do you live by faith? And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, you must get out of this idea to where that you're just applying faith when you have a problem and you're believing God for a change. He says, get out of that mentality. And he said, understand that living by faith means creating an atmosphere of faith in your life.
Yes, amen.
You with me now? In other words, it means not just praying and by faith, believing God for something to change, but your whole life as a Christian, one of the most important things in your life is to live your whole life with your thought life, your attitudes, your emotions, every area of your soul being inundated and encompassed and saturated with a spirit of faith. You cannot believe God for miracles when you need a miracle, and yet all the rest of the time live with cynicism, doubt, fears, all kinds of junk occupying the atmosphere of your soul. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, it says, whatever a man thinks in his heart, I love this, so shall he become like his thoughts. Are you listening to me? This is good. Look at the person next to you and say, this is good. This one's good. This is good. Listen. I thought about this. Whatever a man thinks in his heart. It didn't just say what he thinks. There's a lot of passing thoughts that come to your mind. He said, but whatever lodges in his heart. In other words, whatever thought patterns occupy your soul. He says, you will become literally what atmosphere occupies your soul. So whatever you allow the atmosphere in your soul to be, that's what's going to play out in your life. You with me? So many people are looking for things to change out there. You need to forget about that. It's amazing how things start changing out there when we start changing in things in here. When there's victory inside of my soul, when all hell's breaking loose and it looks like nothing's going to come to pass, the miracle's not going to come, it looks like God's not showing up and nothing makes sense, when I live with this atmosphere of victory and peace and joy and faith in my soul, where it occupies and it saturates my emotions, my thought life, my will. I live in a spirit of victory, regardless of if victory's happening out there or not. I'm living in a spirit of victory in my soul. Ha! Hallelujah. Isn't that good? The devil hates that. It gives him a nervous wreck. He's a nervous wreck. Whenever a believer comes to the place where they cannot lose their victory, regardless what the devil does out there. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. You know, there's things that have come against me in my life. I mean, look, even now, you know, I have two collapsed discs in my neck. I've been dealing with it for 5 years. I'm believing God for a miracle. It could happen today. It could happen tomorrow morning. I mean, any moment. Listen, but in the meantime, listen, I refuse to allow what the devil has attacked me with to stop me from getting on that plane and coming here to preach the gospel to you. And I have decided I'm going to live with such an atmosphere of faith and victory in my soul that you would never know that I'm dealing with pain unless I told you so. Ha! Hallelujah! I like that. Oh, it's a whole lot better living that way. A whole lot more fun. Instead of, you know, you got some pain, you go, oh. You know, in many people, you can see the battle they're going through when they come through the door. Oh. Ah. No.
That's right. Do you see that? You don't have control of everything that's happening to you. But you do have control of what's happening through you. What's happening in you. Living by faith is creating this atmosphere in your soul. It's creating the weather pattern in your soul. Amen? Oh, I like that. You know, I thought of this when it, you know, look, so many times people draw the battle line. In other words, you know, we're all, you know, we know we're in a fight, right? A warfare, but they draw the battle line at the wrong place. They draw the battle line at the level of their actions. Yes. You know, I'm not going to do that. Or even their words. I'm not going to say that. And they don't realize, listen, years ago I picked this up. Ralph Waldo Emerson was the one that I think first said this. But it's a powerful little formula. And maybe you've heard it, but watch this. This thing revolutionized me. It goes like this. It says, sow a thought. Now think about this. Sow a thought and reap an action. Sow an action and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a destiny. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. And that thing hit me, blew me away. Watch this. Because I began to break the thing down. I said, well, your destiny is the way things have turned out in your life. It's your outcome. Your character is the person that you have become or you have allowed yourself to become. That's your character. Your habits are patterns of behavior that you've allowed to form in your life. Actions are single acts that have created those habits. Are you with me? And your thoughts are what occupies your mind. And I begin to look at this and go backwards. Watch this. So many times so many people draw the battle line, you know, in other words, a victory in their life at the level of their actions or their habits. You know, every year people make, you know, new resolutions and I'm going to break that habit. So they've drawn the battle line at the level of their habit or the level of their action. Or the level of their character, they say, I don't like what I've become, so I'm going to change that about me. And they find it almost impossible to change themselves or to change their habits. And they don't realize this. Watch this. If you look at this backwards, you see, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Your destiny is the way things have turned out in your life. But your destiny comes directly from your character, which is the person you've allowed yourself to become. So the way things have turned out in your life for you and to a great extent is simply because of the person you've allowed yourself to become. And your character, the person you've allowed yourself to become, comes from your habits, which are patterns of behavior. The things that you allow to be repeated in your life over and over and over again gradually begin to rewire your soul and you become a different character. And then your habits come directly from your actions. In other words, you never develop a habit until you do something the first time. But your actions come directly from your thought life. And so when I saw that, I thought, my God, literally, your actions, your habits, the person you've become, and the outcome of your life all directly stem from what you allow to occupy your soul. What you allow to occupy your thought life. So if you want a victory in your life, you don't attack it at the battle line of your actions or your character or your habits. You go back to your thought life. Yeah. Are you with me now? To where that you harness your mind to where that every thought is in line with believing God, loving Him, trusting Him. Are you with me now? It's in line with the Word of God. When God spoke that to me, I said, God, I want to understand more how these two sides of faith work. In other words, this on one side, how I learned this trust God no matter what. But on the other side, this thing of believing for miracles. But yeah, of course, they believe they always happen. You know, there's never any time that they don't. And I said, God, how does this work? And the Lord took me to a very powerful scripture in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And so Hebrews chapter 10, 22, Hebrews 10, 22, Amplified Bible. Here's what it says. I mean, can they pull that up on there? Look at that. You guys are good back there, let me tell you. Somebody's good back there, I'm telling you right now. Look at this scripture. Watch this. It says, let us all come forward and draw near with true, honest, and sincere hearts and unqualified assurance and absolute conviction engendered by faith. Now, in parentheses, you're going to see after here, a definition of faith. Now, watch this. Faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Now, that's a mouthful. But let's read it again. Look at this. He says, here's the way you come forward and in your relationship with God and live daily with him. He said, and that is by faith, by that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. And I begin to see this, watch this, that there are two sides to faith. Both of them that I learned, they're not irreconcilable. They are two sides of a coin. We do believe God. It's what I call mountain-moving faith. Believe for the mountain to move. We should always exercise big faith in a big God, believing for the mountains to move. Are you with me? Matter of fact, can I say this? I believe that God has designed us to live that way. In other words, praying big prayers with big prayers. I always believe in praying bigger prayers than what I think I can pray. Bigger prayers than I think I am. You know, in Psalm 2:8, it says this. God says this. He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations and the ends of the earth for your possession. I thought God's wanting us to pray huge prayers. Pray for nations. Pray for the world. And, you know, many Christians, their whole prayer life is relegated to praying for things to work out by Friday. God, I've got a payment due Friday. Would you, God, help me make it through the week. Lord, please, I need some encouragement. Help me to make it through the day. Those are such small prayers. We are not designed to pray small prayers. I don't say there's never occasion to pray for some specific small need. There is. I'm saying this. That's not to occupy the majority of your prayer life. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God wants us to pray big prayers, bigger than ourselves, because praying big prayers stretches our faith in a big God. And I begin to realize this. Listen, God wants us to do that, not because the mountain moves every single time, because folks, sorry to disappoint you, but the mountain doesn't move every single time. It does many times, but there are times that it doesn't. And that's important for you to understand. Because people, I've watched people get disillusioned in their faith. You know, when all of a sudden the mountain doesn't move and they think, well, where's God in all this? I thought God said to ask and you shall receive. But they don't put it with all the rest of the information, the truth that's related to the relationship with God. And they need to know what to do and how to act whenever the mountain doesn't move. It's not to take away the edge off of our faith and stop believing with mountain-moving faith. I have found if people do not have a healthy trust in God when the mountain doesn't move, that they'll never be able to believe God in the long term for the mountains to move, because they suffer shipwreck in their prayer, in their spiritual life. But there is mountain-moving faith. And before I get to trust, I've got to nail this one down. Folks, listen to this. I am a big believer that we are always to live with this kind of radical, wild-eyed look in our eyes. Some of you don't buy into that. But anyway, I mean, y'all, some of you look at your pastor, you know, and pastor's here, and you think, oh, man, these are radicals. Folks, it's radical to the fleshly, ungodly world mindset. But it's normal to the kingdom mindset. It's the way life is to be lived. Supernatural, which means beyond, above and beyond natural. There's to be kind of this wild-eyed sparkle in our eyes that is always believing that God's about to do something much greater than we've ever seen before. If it doesn't happen, if it happens or not, that's really not the most important issue. The most important issue is what happens in me through the time that I've lived believing God for these big things. Well, we're looking always for what faith is doing out there. God is focused on what faith is doing in us. Amen? So I've always believed praying for big prayers, taking big risks. You know what? I have prayed for a number of people to be raised from the dead. And only three of them were raised from the dead. Only three. That was a small portion of what I've prayed for in my lifetime, to be raised from the dead. Some of the people I prayed for to be raised from the dead, I didn't want to pray for them. I didn't want to go. One was in a morgue. And they were keeping the morticians back, saying, no, wait till my pastor comes. He's going to come. You know, who are you going to call? All right. Ghostbusters. I didn't want to do that. This girl had already been dead for over a day, and they're getting ready to embalm her. But you know what? Here's the thing. Listen to this. Something inside of me, because I understood the things I'm talking about this atmosphere, living by faith, something inside of me would not allow me to shrink back and not. It would not allow me to say, no, I won't do that. I can't do that. Because if I had said no, I would have only done it because I did not want to risk humiliation. I didn't want to look silly or stupid. I didn't want people to look at me, the mortician look at me like down through their glasses and like, who do you think you are, you know? But I would not allow that because I said, if I shrink back in this moment, it may take the edge off of my faith the next time around. Because either you're living by faith or you're not living by faith. You don't just live by faith when you want to or it's convenient or you're going to look good. Are you with me now? You have to be willing to risk something for mountain-moving faith. And so many people want to live in their comfort zone. You know, it works this way with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, it's amazing. The gifts of the Spirit don't function unless you step out in faith. You have to take a risk. I was in a service one night, and you know, we had this guy who was a prophet that was there ministering in our church, and man, it was powerful. And something about it, you know, I'm not a prophet, but when I get around them, that anointing, it jumps off on me, and I start hearing things, feeling things. I'm sitting down there as the pastor right over here. And as this guy was ministering, all of a sudden I felt to look back. And I looked back like over here. And when I looked back, I saw this man there that I'd never seen before. And when my eyes fell on him, all of a sudden inside here, I heard the name Willie. 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 And I thought, what's that? And I had a sense it was from God. God was saying, Willie. And I said, God, that's great. But if you give me a word of the Lord, I can't go back there and say, thus saith the Lord, Willie. And so I put my head down. And I tried to just kind of outlast it, you know. And the thing was growing in me and making me sick. And, oh, God. And so finally I looked back there again later on. And when I looked back the next time, as soon as my eyes landed on the guy, I heard the name Jimmy. I thought, great. Willie Jimmy. I said, God, I can't go back there and say Willie Jimmy. God. But no more came. And I just thought, God, I just can't do that. And it kept growing and growing in me. And this thought began to come to me. If I don't step out and risk becoming a fool in this moment, the ability to hear the voice of God is going to diminish in me. Are you with me now? So I just said, okay, God, here I go. And I got up and I walked back to this guy and I looked at him and I found a good way to say it. I said, sir, I said, I've never met you, seen you before. I says, but I said, I just feeling something. I said, does the name Willie mean anything to you? He goes, why, yes. I said, what? He said, well, I'm a part of the American Truckers, Christian Truckers Association of America. And he said, our president was Willie, and he just died. And they appointed me as the interim president. I said, well, let me ask you, does the name Jimmy mean anything? He goes, why, yes. He said, Jimmy is Willie's son. And he said, all the leaders of the Trucker Association have been trying to get me to permanently take the president's position. But I've been feeling like God's been telling me that Jimmy's supposed to take Willie's place. I said, thus say the Lord, Willie Jimmy. And look, I would have missed that beautiful experience. And of course, he would have missed this point of direction. If I had not been willing to step out on less than I wanted to have and risk failure. So that mountain moving faith operates through a measure of risk. You have to step out. It's the whole stepping out of the boat thing onto the water. But the other side is this trust that we were reading about in Hebrews chapter 10. And I begin to look at that and I said, God, explain this to me, what trust really is and how it works with mountain moving faith. Because when I was young, I was taught kind of, to me, trust, when I thought of trust, I thought of this kind of benign, passive life. Just trust, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. And I said, God, it's got to be more than that. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, look at what it says. He said, it's the leaning of the entire human personality on God. God, in trust and confidence in him. And the Lord showed it to me this way. I need a good, strong back here. Somebody, give me a young guy that's got a decent, strong back. Come on. Who are you? Huh?
Jump up there.
Where? All right, come on. Right here? Both? All right, we'll get one here. You got a strong back? Okay, what's your name?
Brandon.
All right, Brandon, come here. Watch this. Look here. It's like the Lord spoke to me and he said, just stand here sideways. You hold your hands out like this. Stand sideways. Sideways. Like, your feet are that way. There you go. All right. There you go. Watch this. And the Lord says, here's what trust is. Things aren't changing. All hell's breaking loose. God, it seems like things aren't making sense. God. See, it's the leaning of the entire man. Isn't that interesting? Really, actually, to tell you the truth, it's actually, hold your arm. It's more like this, to tell you the truth. Now, did you notice that when I, hold me.
Oh, no.
Did you notice that whenever the full weight of my personality was put upon him, did you know something began to happen? I instantly began to relax, and he began to sweat. Isn't that something? Come on, give him a big hand clap. Thanks, buddy. The Lord spoke to me. He says, many people have just one, it's like they have one foot off the ground. Oh, God, I kind of trust you. But they keep one foot on the ground. You know, in case God doesn't show up. Are you with me now? It's really the problem that many people have with tithing. With tithing, because tithing requires a risk of faith, because it's first. You know, and so it's like they have a problem because, you know, well, I want to give some little something out of my paycheck, but not tithe. And it's because, say, I'm going to kind of trust God. But trusting God is putting yourself in a position where that if God doesn't come through. You're done. Isn't that interesting? And I'm going to tell you, that terrifies your flesh, but it is so exciting in your spirit to live that way. Are you with me now? So listen to this. The Lord spoke to me. He said, read on. And here's what it said. He said, by the leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. He said, trust is leaning yourself on God, trusting three things. His power, his wisdom, his goodness. Power is not a problem. Most of us as Christians, we don't have a problem believing that God has the power, that he can do it, right? That the devil's no match for him. So that's not our problem, trusting his power. Our problem lies in the other two. It's trusting his wisdom and trusting his goodness. Watch, don't miss this. What does it mean to trust God's wisdom? It means that when all hell's breaking loose, you've been going through a battle for a good while and nothing's changing and nothing makes sense. Where is God in all this? It means when you're at that point, it means that you trust that you don't know everything that's going on, but that God knows everything that's going on. See, you and God exist on two different planes. The Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. God knows, listen, God knows how this thing's going to turn out for you. And he is in control. And trusting his wisdom means that, look, it looks like God sure ain't doing his job, but I know that God is all wise. He knows the end from the beginning. Are you with me now? And so trust is saying, no matter what, it's like Job. You remember Job? He lost his kids, his house, his livelihood, his physical sickness, racked with pain. In that state, here's what he says. He cries out to God. He said, though God slay me, yet I will trust him. Oh, man, I love that. And it irritates me that I've heard so many preachers, and especially theologians, argue this point. Like on one side, well, does God really slay us? You know, he doesn't slay us. So Job was wrong in his theology. And others say, well, God doesn't slay us, but he allows slaying. And so God allows it. And then other people say, no, he doesn't even allow it. And they don't understand that when Job cried out, though God slay me, yet I will trust him, he was not in a seminary giving a teaching on the sovereignty of God. He was a man that was racked with pain, who just lost everything, and his soul was in pain. And this statement, though God slay me, yet I will trust him, was not a theological statement. It was a statement of commitment and trust that no matter what happens, all hell breaks loose. Let it be known. Listen, I don't believe that God does slay us, but the point is, even if he did, let it be known, devil, you're not getting my worship, you're not getting my praise, you're not getting my allegiance, oh, you're not getting my faith. Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him. It was like this holy defiance of the enemy. Let it be known, this man's going to trust God to the end. I love that, don't you? And then the last thing was this. He said, it's trusting his power, his wisdom, and his goodness. He said, you have to trust his goodness. And when I say that, you know, many people think, oh, okay, I trust God's a good God. We even say it. God's a good God. All the time. But do we live and act like God's a good God? Do you know what Adam and Eve's biggest mistake was in that whole garden experience with the apple or the fruit or whatever it was? Listen, their biggest mistake was that God had told them in essence, I love you. You're my family. I want to shower my love and my blessing. I provide this whole garden for you because I want you to be blessed. But see this tree over here? I don't want you to touch that. It's not good for you. It's going to produce death. Don't touch that. And then the devil comes along and sows a lie into Eve's heart. And the lie was in essence this. The lie in essence was, Eve, God knows that this tree is going to be good for you. It's going to bless you and make your life better. You're going to be happier, Eve, if you eat this tree. But God is not good, and so he's holding out from you because he doesn't want you to have the happy, blessed life that you want. That if you fully follow God completely in everything he says to do and requires of you, if you do that, you won't be happy. And so they took life into their own hands and decided that, okay, we love God, but we're going to take this part of our life into our hands because we believe it will provide a better, happier life for us than God will provide for us. Do you see what accusation that is against the character, the goodness of God? Yeah. And I begin to realize that we do that as Christians. Listen, folks, all of us here, you're beautiful people. It's full of lovely people. But there are people here, there's hundreds of people here, there are people here, tons of people, that are on all different levels of their leaning their whole life on God and trust in his goodness. You see, whenever I was a kid growing up, my parents kept all the pastors, the ministers, the preachers that came through town. They were the main lay people in the church that, I mean, you know, they send all the pastors there. And when in the night, they would put us, we'd have to sleep on the couch. Those preachers would sleep in my bed. They'd eat my food. They'd put us to bed, and they would party, you know, half the night. And it really irritated me, and I grew up not really liking preachers. And so when I got to college, my wife and I met in college, and I got to college. I told everybody, it was a Christian college, and a lot of guys were wanting to be preachers, and I said, let it be known. I'll do anything for God in the church, except I will not be one of those preachers. It'll never happen, you mark my word. Well, my wife and I started dating, and then after some time, I fell in love with her. And one night I came to her, and I said, Donna, I said, I want you to know I love you, and I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And Donna said to me, she said, well, I do love you too. She said, but I cannot marry you. I said, why? She said, because you said you'll never be a preacher. And she said, when I was 14 years old, I gave my complete life to God. And God said, if I will fall in completely, when I grow up, he says, I'm going to meet a man, and he's going to be a preacher, and we're going to travel the world together preaching the gospel. She said, so I can't marry you. I said, well, maybe we can rethink this thing then. No, that's not what happened. You know, I was sorry to say I was at a place, I was stubborn. I told her, Donna, I said, well, I'm not going to be a preacher. You can mark that down, honey. I love you, but I ain't going to be a preacher. I said, so let's break up. I said, don't see each other. Don't talk to each other, you know, and, you know, she says I was a little more straightforward than that. But anyway, it's like I just said, let's go our separate ways. And I said, if you ever change my mind, If you ever change your mind, just come and let me know. And so we went along for several months like that. And then, all right, anyway. And so after a number of weeks, my wife came crawling back on her hands and knees to me, you know. Well, y'all don't believe that? It's been a long time. The details are vague, but it was something like that. We got together, and we got married. Now 3 years pass, and over these 3 years of being married, God had been dealing with me. Just about my life. I didn't know what. And I didn't even know a lot of it was the dealings of God at the time. I just knew after 3 years, I was feeling miserable. I got to the place where I was hated myself, hated my life. And I came home from work one night, and I fell, went in the bedroom, fell across the bed, and started bawling like a baby. And I cried to God. I said, God, what are you doing? What's going on? What are you trying to say to me? And I cried and cried. And as I did, all of a sudden, I saw a vision. I never had anything like that happen. This vision, all it was a blank piece of paper. That was it. A blank piece of paper with a place at the bottom for someone to sign. And I looked at that and I said, God, what is this? And God said, this is my will for the rest of your life. Now sign it. I said, well, God, if this is a contract we're talking about here, I said, I signed contracts and I know you need to fill it in so that I can see what I'm agreeing to. And the Lord said to me, he said, no, you sign it and then I'll fill it in. I instantly understood what lordship was all about. It was non-negotiating with God. Today I'll do this, but no, not that tomorrow. It's signing that blank piece of paper. And then once it's signed, honey, 20 years later when God writes on it, it's too late to say no. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord. Amen. So in this vision, I saw myself with trembling hand pick up this pen. And I begin to sign my name at the bottom, signing my life away. A blank piece of paper. And when I signed that paper, I put the pen down, and as soon as the pen hit the table, I heard God say, now go preach the gospel. I thought, I knew you were going to say that. That's why I didn't want to sign it. And what's so interesting is, up until that time, the reason I didn't want to do that, sign that, and become a preacher, I had it in my mind that I could provide a better life myself. God, I love you. I'll go to church. I'll teach a class. But God, don't ask me to do this. I put certain limits off. God could not trespass those limits. Because I thought that if I really laid down everything and let God tell me where to live, what job to have, you know, how to deal with my finances, my family, the whole thing, that somehow I would not be happy. And I didn't realize. Now here we are. That's been 43 years or so. And Don and I have traveled the world together, and we've had a blast. I mean, I could never have imagined the life that God had for us that was so exciting, so wonderful in so many ways. And then I look back at what I was protecting when I was saying no to God. You know what I was doing? You know what job I had? I was a Twinkie salesman. I worked for Hostess. I got in my truck every morning at 5:30 full of hot Twinkies and cupcakes. I had on my Twinkie suit. I had on a Twinkie hat with a big Twinkie on the front of the hat. I was a Twinkie man. And that's what I was protecting. Isn't it amazing? I say to you today, folks, all of you, every one of you have a different journey, a different place you're at. But really, all of us, in some ways, we struggle at times with these areas of like, oh, if I really step over the line, give God that. If I let him tell him how to deal with this relationship, or even whether I should have that relationship or not, or the finances, or my career, or whatever, I'm not going to be happy. And folks, what that is an accusation against the character of God. It's saying to God, God, I really don't believe you're a good God. So you must give it all to him. I want you to do this with me today. Can everybody stand to your feet right now? All over the place, just stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I just feel the presence of God. Lord, sweep in this place right now. Sweep over this place. Begin to move and deal with people, God, by your Holy Spirit. God, let the dealings of the Holy Ghost just fall upon this place. Yeah. We thank you, Father. With every eye closed and every head bowed, just a moment. Just put your hands down, if you will. And I want to ask you this question all over the place. Listen to me. I want to ask you, first of all, have you signed that blank piece of paper? In other words, at all? In other words, have you given your life to Christ? Are you here today, but you say, Pastor Rick, I really don't know God personally. Maybe you've never given your life to Him. Maybe you've been invited here today by someone. Maybe you've been here for a while, but you've never made that step to give your life to Christ and let Him become Lord and Savior of your life, forgive you of your sins, to make your heart right with Him. So listen, so that you would know today before you leave this place that if Jesus would come tonight or in the morning, you would be ready to go with all of us to meet Jesus. We'd be in heaven together. If that's you all over the place, I want to ask you in a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to respond by raising your hand saying, Pastor Rick, yes, that's me. I want to give my life fully to Christ. I want to be born again. Now, right now, I'm asking for those who are not born again, who have not given their lives to Christ. You say, Pastor Rick, I want to be forgiven. I want to come into relationship with God. I want to give my life to Him and be saved. On the second account, I want to say to people who've known God before, but you've fallen away from God. You've fallen away somewhere in the past. Something's gotten between you and God, and you've fallen away from Him. And now you need to come home like a prodigal son or daughter. Folks, listen, if that's you, please don't leave this place without making things right with God. It's the most important thing in the entire world. So I'm going to ask you to do that on either account. If you say, Pastor, this is my first time giving my life to Christ, being born again, or Pastor, I've been away from God. I want to come back home like a prodigal son or daughter, give my life to Him, be forgiven of my sins, made right with God. You know, on either one of those counts, if that's you, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to give the devil a big black eye. This is saying no to the devil and yes to Jesus. And I want you, when I say three, I want you to shoot your hand up real high. By shooting your hand up real high, you'll be saying, Pastor, I am siding with Jesus today. I'm making a stand for Him, and I am no longer going to allow the enemy to control or dictate my life. I'm not going to try to dictate it myself. I'm giving my life to Christ. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand, and then we're going to pray with you. One, get ready. Two, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let the devil hates your guts. Are you ready? Three, right now, quickly, all over the place. Now, just hold it up real high, if you will, please, a moment. And let me just see if I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay. Now look at this. Listen to this. Put your hands down. I just feel like I'm going to make one more shot at it. Listen, this is a matter of life and death. And so I'm not going to let you go. If I feel there's one more person that needs to lift their hand and say yes to Jesus, you've been maybe in that valley of decision and the devil's pulling against you. Let me tell you something. Don't let him win the day. Give your life fully to Christ. Give it to Him. Now, if you've already raised your hand, you don't need to raise again. But if you say, Pastor Rick, I want to be included in that number. I want you to pray with me too. I want to give my life to Christ, or I want to come back to Him. If that's you, you raise your hand right now, quickly. There's another one and another one. God bless you. Who else? Anyone else? God bless you. Yeah, sir, right there. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, anybody else? Yep, I saw your hand. Is that it? Is there no one else? Right there, I see your hand. God bless you, young lady. All right, everybody. Yeah, way back there. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else? Last time I'm asking. Anybody else? You say, Pastor, I want to join that number. Give my life to Christ. All right. Now look at me. All of you who raised your hand, we want to pray together. Now, here's the deal. The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you. Jesus said, I'll confess you before the Father. If you don't, He said, I won't. It's very important to make public confession of your faith. And so, that it's like completes the process. You're saying no to the devil, resisting that pull in the flesh to make you feel timid, and you're giving your life to Christ. And so I want to do this. I want you, what we're going to do, everybody lift your hand. I want you to meet me right over here on this side. Okay? Would you do that? Just come up real quickly, and we're going to pray together. Everybody that raised your hand, I'm going to meet you right over here. Come on, everybody that raised your hand. Don't let the devil hold you back now. Give your life fully to him. It'll be the best day of your life. Anybody else that's raised your hand, come on, come down here. Make it right. Don't let the devil hold you back. Come on up here. Everybody make room for you. Come on up here. Those in the aisle, if you can come on up here. Yeah, come on up here. There you go. Fantastic. We got another one coming back there. Got another one coming here. God bless you. Isn't this beautiful? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now listen. Church, stay engaged with me on this. Listen to this. This is the most beautiful and important thing that we're doing here today. Right? We are receiving brothers and sisters into the family of God. So stay, keep your faith hooked in with me. Now everybody down here, look with me just a moment. And I want you to listen to this. This can be the greatest moment of your life. If you've never given your life to Christ, listen, you say, well, I don't know if I can live a life. I don't know if I can do this and that. You don't have to worry about that. All you do is give up yourself. Give the reins of your life to Jesus. And he will come with his grace and empowerment. And he will give you what you need to obey him. Those of you who've known God and fallen away from him, God's drawing you back. And I want you today, whether it's your first time or God's drawing you back, I want you to pray a prayer today that is once and for all cutting the cord on the past, is closing the curtain and saying, I am not going back. I'm giving my life fully to Christ. I'm not just going to be a sitting in a chair in church, you know, and just say, bless me. God, I want you to raise me up and use me for your glory. All right? I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody standing up here, you ready? We're going to pray this out of your heart. Everybody in this church, join with them. Would you do it? Come on, let's pray this. Say, dear Father God, I want to give my whole life to you today. I don't want to live one more day without you. Come on, just cry this out of your heart. Say, God, I need you. I want you. I feel you dealing with me. So I say to you, yes. I give myself to you. All that I am and all that I ever will be. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. So that I could be forgiven and saved. So here's my life, Lord. It's now yours. Come live in me. Fill me with your spirit. From this day forward, my life is yours. Now, to keep your eyes closed, just stand there for a moment and just think about what that means. Just ponder a moment just what you've done. You realize what you've done. You've changed ownership. Isn't it beautiful? Hallelujah. Now, I want you all to look at me here, and I want to say to you, listen to this. Welcome into the family of God. Welcome as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, yeah, because, listen, this is the greatest news in all the world, because when you come to Christ like this, you don't have to work for a day or a week or a month trying to earn your place with God. God instantly forgives you. There's a change inside of you. You see life through different eyes, so you're a brand new person in Christ. Now, here's the thing. We as a church here, the church here wants to help you grow strong in the Lord. If you grow strong in the Lord over the next few months, you know, the church will help you do that, okay? And there's got teachings and studies you can do, things. There's people who will get with you and help you. If you do that, let me tell you, you're going to be dangerous to the devil. You will make him pay. Are you with me now? So here's what I want you to do. First of all, here's how we're going to first get connected with you so they can follow up with you. See, see right here, just come over to this side, and there's these people right here. One of them's going to talk to you just for a moment. They're going to get your name and stuff, and they're going to get started. Would you do that? Just go over there. Just go over there, and come on, let's welcome them all into the family of God. Come on, shout about it. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Now, everybody, look at me. Listen to this. While they're doing this, isn't that beautiful? No greater sight in the world. While they're doing that, everybody look at me. I want to take all the rest of you and ask you this. If God has spoken to you today, particularly about this last point, sign that blank piece of paper. You see, I did that after being a Christian for a number of years. If God's dealing with you about that, I want to help you do that today. To me, Pastor, to me, the greatest thing in the world, thrill for me and Don, is if we could leave here knowing that there were some people who stepped over that threshold, who were kind of like hedging their bets and holding these back and fully giving their lives to Christ. I want to help you to do that. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Just all of us together, we're going to pray this prayer of signing that paper. Are you with me now? Let's just do it. Can you just lift both hands to heaven and in a posture of surrender? Come on, let's do it as a church together. But particularly those who God has been dealing with about this, cry this out of your heart. Dear Father God, I am sorry for living my life, hedging my bets, holding things in reserve, restricting certain parts of my life from your will. So today, Lord God, I once and for all am signing that blank piece of paper. Now, right now, in your mind's eye, I want you to see yourself signing it. Are you ready? That's God's will for the rest of your life. Now, sign it. Sign it. Hallelujah. When you sign it, put the pen down. And then just say this. Say, God, my life is yours. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to be, so be it, Lord. My life is yours. I realize, God, you're a good God. And what you have planned for me is far better than what I have planned for myself. So here I am, Lord. I trust you. I lean totally on you. The full weight of all that I am. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody in this place, if you keep your hands raised, I'm just going to pray over you. God, I'm going to pray for the anointing to come on the altar of sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, God, all of those who prayed this prayer from the depths of their hearts, sign that blank piece of paper. Lord, I pray now. Take that altar that they've built in their hearts before you. And now I ask you, God, to call, I call fire down as Elijah did, God. Call fire down on the altar of sacrifice and consume the sacrifice. In the name of Jesus, burn in them, Lord God, that the oil of heaven fall upon them, wash over them in the name of Jesus. That's it. Just let that happen right now. Father, let the anointing of your Holy Spirit just wash over them. Lord God, refresh them. Bring a refreshing in their hearts today. God, to step out in this new dimension with you as the Lord and leader of our lives. We love you. We bless you. We honor you. And everybody shout, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap in this place. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 I love you. Y'all are beautiful. God bless you.
Amen. Please take your seats real quickly. This man of God has placed such a phenomenal deposit in our spirits.